Welcome to Worship with Trinity. Nice to see you this morning. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here and delighted to welcome you. If you are with us for the first time today, especially glad to extend a welcome to you and say that we are so glad that you have chosen to be here with us for worship. If you would, please let us know that you've been here with us today, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time. You can use the connection card that's located in your bulletin for doing that. Tell us a little about yourself, ministries that you might be interested in knowing more about. And if you have a prayer concern that you come with today, you'll see on the back of the card a place to share that with us as well. And a little bit later in the service, you'll be able to place those in the offering plates. Well, this morning we begin a series of messages and a series of opportunities that are a part of our special summer offerings. So right after this service, there will be lunch served on the other side of this partition. And so there are tables already set up, ready to go, and food will be ready for you to go and enjoy. And so we hope that you will linger around and enjoy that time of fellowship. We'll be doing that each Sunday for the next 6 weeks. Along with that, we also are doing a month of missions and inviting you to bring items each week that can help meet a need in missions in our community. And in your bulletin, every week you'll be able to see both what we are requesting for that particular week as well as the following week, so that you'll know what to bring next week when you come back. And of course, each week we give you a chance to participate in generosity for supporting a mission through our mission boxes. Today is Mercy Chefs, and again, you can find more information about them in your bulletin. And as you leave today, if you would like to make an offering for Mercy Chefs, you can place those in the offering boxes that you find at each of the exit doors. Well, you may be wondering, what's the deal with the chairs? And so we thought that we would just share with you this morning that with our summer series and summer lunches, we thought we would just try out something a little different, rearrange the chairs, rearrange the furniture, if you will. But have no fear, we have not permanently moved your cheese. And we have heard already from some of you that absolutely love it this way and love the way it feels, and some of you, not so much. And that's okay, but if you will just try to experiment with us this summer with a little bit different setup and notice some things about that that may feel more intimate and more connected with each other during this season of summer, especially as we focus on a message series about being together. So really, again, glad that you are here with us today. God is so good in creating space for all of us to come to a place where God welcomes us. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. And would you take a moment and stand and greet some others around you so that they feel welcomed in at home as well?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our beginning worship song.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour your power, crown thine ancient church's story, bring her power to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil
pray with me. God, we are here to worship and glorify you. So pour out your Spirit on us. Open our eyes to see you and our hearts to pursue after your truth that leads to wholeness and holiness for all. As we worship you this morning, may you be glorified and may we be transformed by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join me in affirming our faith using the words that you see before you on the screen? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence you shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
We turn now to a time of prayer with and for one another. We might want to remember this morning the names of these folks you see here on the screen that are receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team. I believe Bob Garrigues was released from the hospital but is recovering in rehab. But pray for these folks throughout the week. Your prayers avail much. They always share with us how much your prayers mean. I also want to remember our mission team that is in Jamaica this week for the work that they will be doing. And of course, you've all come here today with your own prayers, things you might be celebrating for what God is doing in your midst, concerns that you might be carrying in your heart. So we'll begin our prayer this morning with a period of silence so that you might pray to God in the quiet of your heart. But let us unite our hearts and together go to God in prayer. Amazing love and unfailing grace. In a world where uncertainty and fear seek to overwhelm, grant us peace and help us to place our trust in you. Help us to remain steadfast in our faithful work of doing good, doing no harm, and staying in love with you. Give us grateful hearts for your saving mercies, for your faithful love, and for the many blessings you have poured upon us. Rekindle your flame burning inside us for righteousness and justice, and give us courage to become disciples of Jesus Christ, who boldly serve as instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is despair, let us bring hope. Where there is darkness, let us shine light. We have prayed to you in the quiet of our hearts about people and situations that require help and healing mercies. Help us to remember that you are with each person and in each situation, offering your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for the many ways in which you have healed us, and that you are healing us still, O God. in your mercy, hear our prayers. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander, find safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will if you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell, and death is at your side, know that I am with you.
As followers of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the world, it is our joy and our privilege to share with one another the resources that God has given us so that we might fulfill the mission and work that God is calling this church to. So as we offer ourselves, as we offer our financial gifts and our tithes back to God, let us so grateful for the many ways that you bless and enrich our lives. And we pray that as we give back to you now from what you have given to us, that you receive our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, that you multiply them, that you have your will and your way with them for the sake of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.
Turn your eyes to Jesus with me, and let's pray together. I invite you to pray for me in sharing this message with you, and you that God will speak a word that you need to hear to your heart and life today. Let's pray. be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So happy summertime. Thursday, we officially entered into summer, although it's felt like that for a few weeks, I would say. One of the things that I'm particularly excited about is our new summertime worship series called Together for the Sake of the World. And I'm also excited that we'll be joining together in lunches after worship and in a month of missions. It will be a wonderful summer. You know, back in January, we as a congregation discerned our theme, our focus for this year, which is deeper. We are intentionally going deeper in our faith and in our understanding. We're going deeper in our relationships with one another, and we're going deeper as a congregation as we discern who it is that we are and who are our neighbors and what is God calling us to do. The theme scripture reading for that is from Ephesians, a part in chapter 3 where it says, let your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And that reminds us that God lavishes love on us and then calls us to share that love with others. Ephesians is the book that we're going to look at in this series. It's the book that letter, that phrase comes from. And over the summer, we're going to go deeper into Ephesians for 6 weeks, looking at some of the major themes and what it is that we are called to do. Now, Ephesians is the fifth of what are characterized in the New Testament as the letters of Paul to different churches. And it's called Ephesians because it was written to the church at Ephesus. Maybe not, because in the superscription of that letter, there was likely a blank, which means that it wasn't really written just to one church in Ephesus, but to many churches in Asia Minor. It was really more like a circular message that was delivered by courier to different churches, and they could just insert the name of the church. So it's really more like when we receive something in the mail and it is addressed to residents. You know, so we assume that this is to Ephesus and that it's a letter and that it's written by Paul. But actually, common understanding based on scholarly research is that it actually wasn't written by Paul either, but it was written by one of his followers. And him taking the name of Paul is not an affront, is not plagiarism. It was common practice at the time when a letter was written to convey the purpose and the message and the mission of someone, in this case, the Apostle Paul. So it wasn't written by Paul. It wasn't really written specifically to Ephesus. And it wasn't a letter, but that doesn't deny the significance of this letter and this book in the New Testament. And it doesn't mean that it lessens our ability to learn from it and these themes about what it means to be the church. It reminds us of who we are together, and it reminds us of who we are called to be, and to be mindful of our witness for the sake of the world. So, let's dive into Ephesians. We'll start with the first chapter, with verses 3 through 14. And as you listen to this, I invite you to pay attention to the verbs. Pay attention to God's action in this passage of Scripture, to how God acts with and for us. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be His adopted children through Jesus Christ because of His love. This was according to His goodwill and plan. And to honor His glorious grace that He has given to us freely through the Son whom He loves. In RSV it says, through the beloved. We have been ransomed through His Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on His overflowing grace, which He poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed His hidden design to us, which is according to His goodwill and the plan that He intended to accomplish through His Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all time, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We are destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to His design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit because you believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption. God's own people, resulting in God's glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So many of you know that Steve and I were away 2 weeks ago for our daughter's wedding. Shelby Hart Price married Michael Meehan, or Meehan if you want to be Irish. And we now have Shelby Hart Meehan. It was a wonderful wedding, and Shelby told us beforehand that she wanted us to be both her parents and her pastors on that day. She said, after all, that's what you've been my whole life. So she asked her dad to walk her down the aisle, and she asked me if I would do the homily and lead a lot of the service. So I did. At the beginning of the service says, friends, we are gathered here, and I got through friends and looked around and started to get choked up, but I managed to get it together and to officiate the service and offer words of blessing and challenge to them. One of the things that I did in the homily was to quote some words of a song that means a lot to Michael and Shelby. Called I Choose You, and it's by Ryan Darling. The chorus says, and I'd choose you in 100 lifetimes. I'd choose you. In 100 worlds, I'd find you. And for the rest of my life, with all that I have, I do, and I will. When the sky is falling, I promise that I'm all. No turning back. Every day, every moment, every breath you take, I choose you. And as you look at the look on Shelby's face, you can see that she is very ready to say, I do. I choose you. The flower girl in the wedding was Lilia. Lilia is 3 years old. And Lilia is the daughter of Iris. We first met Iris about 20 years ago. We were in Brazil with the World Methodist Council, and we were going out into the countryside to experience some of the ministries there. And so we went to Campo Grande to the Ana Gonzaga Orphanage. It was there that we met Iris. We were wandering through the dormitories and saw her Now, it was difficult at best because we spoke English and a little bit of Spanish, and she spoke a little bit of Spanish and Portuguese, but somehow we managed to communicate. We found out her name was Iris and that she was 13 years old. And Steve asked her, he said, "Iris, what do you like to do?" And she said, "I like to sing." And he said, "Oh, sing for me." She paused for a moment. Then she kind of sheepishly looked at him and she said, "Well, what do you like to do?" And he said, "Well, I like to sing too." And she said, "Okay, then you sing for me." So Steve started singing Amazing Grace, and Iris started singing along with him. At the end of the day, we got back onto the bus in the dirt parking lot to take the 2-hour drive back to the hotel. And we looked out the window, and we saw this group of a makeshift band of children and young teenagers playing drums. Iris is there in the very back, in the middle. We both kind of looked out at the window, at her out the window, and then we were quiet. We were quiet and didn't speak most of the trip back to the hotel. But then as we were nearing the hotel, we looked at each other, and it was very clear to us that we were called to do something with Iris. We didn't know exactly what. God was calling us to do something. So we talked to the missionaries at the orphanage, and they said, "The best thing that you can do for Iris is to bring her to live with you for 3 months on a student visa, because then she can be immersed in English and learn English, and that will give her options for employment when she returns to Brazil." Now, we were poor seminary students at the time, going to seminary for the second round. And I still say that, you know, the second round, Steve, with a 3-year-old child. So money was very tight, but over the course of the next several months and several miracles, we were able to bring Iris to live with us. She was 13 and Shelby was 3. We continued that relationship with Iris, and then a couple of years later, she was adopted by a family and came to live in the United States. We reconnected with her when she was 23, and she came to live with us again. And then when she got married, we went to Michigan and officiated her wedding ceremony. And then a couple of years later, she had Lilia and came to Florida. Shared together in Lilia's baptism. You know, we chose Iris. We adopted her as a part of our family. She and Shelby became adopted sisters. And it wasn't based on anything that she had done or who she was. We really didn't know anything about her at the time. We only knew that she needed to be chosen. She needed to be loved and accepted. We chose her because we loved her. And we loved her because we chose her. You know, God has chosen us. Before the creation of the world, not because of who we are or because of anything that we have done, but because of God's overflowing grace for us in Jesus Christ. It's that kind of love that every parent hopes, that we hope every parent has for their child. That love that accepts and forgives no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the offense. And that love that expects only the very best out of our child. You've probably heard it said before that God loves us as brothers and sisters. Your adopted brothers and sisters in Christ. Each person here has been chosen and adopted by God. God chose us because God loved us. And God loves us because God chose us. And this letter is written to both Jews and Gentiles. People who are very different from one another. To those who had previously been considered worthy and unworthy. Clean and unclean. Chosen and unchosen. But God adopted them all. Humbled as we are, as we try to grasp God's lavish love for us, we are also called to lavish that same love on our adopted brothers and sisters. We are all very different from one another, and that seems no more apparent than right at this moment in time in our families, in our communities, and in our nation. But we are called to lavish love for the sake of the world on all of our adopted brothers and sisters, to love wherever it is needed and not because it is deserved. And we can only do that. How many times that phrase was used in that passage? In Christ. In Christ. It was repeated over and over again. God blessed us in Christ. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. God planned to bring all things together in Christ. We also have received an inheritance in Christ. Being in Christ means that we are transformed by the overflowing grace of Jesus Christ, so that we love all our adopted brothers and sisters, not because of who they are, but because of who we are. And for the sake of the world. You know, that song that I quoted begins as a love song. Two people's love for each other. But it continues as a love song between God. Because with our union, the union of these two people, we will move mountains. We will live on our knees. And He'd choose us. God would choose us. In 100 lifetimes, God would choose us. In 100 worlds, God would find us. And we say we do. For the rest of our lives, with all that we have, we do and we will. When the sky turns black and God comes back riding on the clouds every day, every moment, every breath we take, we'll choose you. We'll choose you, God. We'll choose you. May this be our prayer. God, before the creation of the world, you chose us. And you adopted us in Christ for this, holy and blameless. You forgive us through the overflowing grace of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your lavish love. As you call us to live, as one family of adopted brothers and sisters, not because of who someone else is, but because of who we are. It may seem impossible, in Christ we can move mountains. We commit to live on our knees as your people and to choose you every day, every moment, every breath we take.
Today is a membership Sunday here at Trinity, which means it gives us an opportunity to welcome persons who are already our brothers and sisters in Christ and who have chosen this community of faith as the people with whom they will connect in life and faith and ministry. So I want to invite John and Jessica to come up at this time, and folks who may be standing with them as well, come on up. You're welcome to stand alongside us here. Delighted to introduce to you first Jessica Hunt. Jessica is coming today and transferring her membership from Pomeroy United Methodist Church in Pomeroy, Pennsylvania. And she has already plugged in and is connected and helping in children's ministry. And I know I've seen you at 6:35 on Wednesdays and connecting in lots of ways here in the life of Trinity. I'm so glad that today we get to say welcome. And then John Fairless, who many of you will recognize. And you may recall that some months ago, the rest of these Fairless folks up here joined Trinity. But part of John's story is that he is a fellow colleague and clergy in ministry, served many years as senior pastor of churches, including First Baptist right here in Gainesville. And today we are so glad that while he continues to be the Reverend John Fairless, he is choosing this, us, Trinity, as the place, the folks who he wants to connect with in life and ministry, and I'm so glad about that. So, yeah.
Thanks for adopting us, John.
Yeah.
So, John and Jessica, I ask you these questions. They are the historic questions of faith as we continually, daily recommit our lives to choose Christ. So, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? And do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your full trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races in this adopted family? And then I ask you two questions about becoming a part of the Methodist Church and Trinity. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
We want to offer you an opportunity to share in this welcome, and so if you would join us in responding with the words that you find on the screen.
We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church. To make disciples of Jesus Christ, devoted to making a difference in the world.
And I know that you will want to offer your own personal words of welcome as you see these folks after worship today and around Trinity. But would you join me in a moment of prayer? Oh God, we give you thanks for these friends and for the connections that you will make in and through us in the days ahead. Be with all of us as we continue to seek faithfulness.
Thank you.
to a table, to this table, as brothers and sisters, all children in God's family. It is here that every one of us finds a welcome. And so this morning and every time we come to this table as people of faith, as people here at Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, every person present is a welcome participant at the table because God has set a place for every one of you. Here we remember that Jesus came to live the faithful and obedient life, a life filled with love and grace, and a commitment to the mission of God, even when that mission would mean giving up his own life. We remember how on the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a final meal. And he took bread that night and he broke it. He shared it with them and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. And he shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Gracious and merciful God, may our hearts be filled with gratitude as we come to receive what you so freely and generously offer to us here. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, so that in receiving them we might recognize Christ's presence in these gifts and among us, and we might welcome that presence into our hearts and lives so that we would live as one with you and with each other and in ministry to all the world. So bind us together now and feed us according to your purposes. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and prepare the gifts for distribution. Table has been set, and God, through Christ, has made a way for every one of us to join in this time. And so we invite you at this time to come. Let us celebrate. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your grace by which you have nourished us at this table. Having received, may we go out to give. To give our lives for your sake and for the sake of the world, that others might experience your grace in and through us. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
You're adopted brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you leave this place this morning, may you know that you are loved. You are chosen. You are adopted. And may you then go out to share God's love with others. Not because of who they are, or anything that they have done, but because of who we are and for the sake of the world. Go, and may the overflowing grace of Jesus Christ be with you, and may the inheritance that is yours through